The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, offering insights, wisdom, and counsel from the most respected CEOs. Here is the host of the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. I've got one of my favorite reoccurring guests today, and he is Barney McCauley, who is a managing director with Edge Realty Partners. Barney, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to talk to you this morning, John.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Barney, it seems like we just continue to be in this interesting real estate times of transition, and it seems like there's some positive news and some negative news going on all the time. Why don't you go first, and I'll give you some of my thoughts as far as things. But how are you seeing today's overall real estate market?
Well, as you know, I focus on the retail side of the market, and so things are very good for me. It's we closed on a mall last week. We've got another assignment going out in the next week or so. And there's a lot of interest and a lot of buyers that are focused on this side of the market. Retail in general, Edge represents 270 retail tenants. And overall, our retailers are expanding, and we're the challenge is finding space for retailers, as there just hasn't been a lot of new shopping centers added to the market in the last 10 years. So it's saying that's one side of it. The other side of it, Macy's is going to close a lot of their stores. Dollar Tree and Dollar General are closing a good number of stores, but not a high percentage of their portfolio. So there's this normal seasoning of people's portfolios, and they're trying to right-size their footprints that's overlapping with a very limited new construction.
You know, it's interesting, Barney. My little company, we represent about 30 tenants. That sounds big to me until I talk to you, and then it seems kind of sad. But we're seeing the same thing, that we've got these tenants we're representing, they're expanding, and we can't find enough sites, and there's not enough new development. And then you do hear news, like found out Darden is saying they're slowing down, not doing as many deals, whereas, Ross is saying they're doing a bunch of deals. And so, you said it, what did you say, it's a seasoning, that's a natural thing, that some of these bigger tenants, they're going to pause and take the time to reconfigure. But that doesn't necessarily mean all bad. That actually could create some opportunity. Is that right?
That's correct. As new concepts evolve, you and I don't want to go to the same restaurant for 30 years. So the fact that Darden is maybe closing some restaurants and reconfiguring what they're offering to their customers is sort of just a natural evolution of things. On a big picture in real estate, we are seeing still slow transactions. I met with the head of a national title company last evening, and the volume is way off for her and for transactions. I talked to a regional banker yesterday, and one side he's saying, oh, things are good, our loans aren't a problem, but he's offering loans for me to buy and have my clients buy. And I talked to a workout group that does receivership work, and he had 612 emails by lunch yesterday because there's so many people looking for his real receivership services. So there is clearly issues in the marketplace that interest rate increase have accelerated. But it's affecting more the office in particular, and then a little bit less the industrial and the multifamily.
Yeah, one of the things that's weird to me, Barney, is that if you just sort of take a step back and you just were like a regular person, wouldn't you just think that, like, I don't know, 40% of all malls would have just like gone to foreclosure, been sold for pennies on the dollar, and all been mowed down by now? But that hasn't happened. I guess it's happened sometimes, but there's a sort of shocking amount of malls that continue to kind of like just sort of limp along. I mean, is that true? And what is that? Why isn't there not more of a crushing, catastrophic kind of thing with malls?
The retail apocalypse that we sort of missed. What we found is there were 1,200 malls five years ago. Now we're down to 900 malls. And of those 900, 200 are controlled by income-focused buyers that are not investing anything back in their malls, but are just taking the income and letting the malls run down. There's 250 malls that are owned by Simon or Brookfield, Mason Ridge, that are just doing great, and their sales keep increasing, and their sales are up over $1,000 a square foot. There really is a place for them in the market. In fact, Kenwood Mall in Cincinnati recently refinanced, and they got $60 million out of the refinancing. That means they took that much equity out when they refinanced out, and the investors got paid back $60 million. That would have never happened even a year ago, but people, lenders are, and other investors are realizing that there are great malls and so-so malls and bad malls, and they're not painting them all with the same broad brush. It's just, what are the individual sales per square foot? This mall was doing about $1,000 a square foot in sales. It's in a great location with great demographics. It's not going anyplace. And the investors and the lenders realize that.
So riddle me this, and you're going to have to kind of shorten this big question, short answer. If one of your uncles sadly passed away, and I'm gonna say he leaves you $500 million, but the caveat is, it's like you have to invest it in some area of real estate in the next 90 days. Barney McCauley, you got $500 million. Would you go out there and buy a bunch of these C malls and reconfigure them? Would you go buy a bunch of land and develop it? Would you go buy existing assets? Would you go buy a retail chain and help them expand? Like, in your brain, $500 million to spend in the retail real estate world. And again, you have to do this, all right? So where would you be the lead place you'd want to spend that money, and why?
Well, you'd always want to diversify. So there'd be some that would be core assets. You'd buy grocery-anchored centers in Orlando, Atlanta, Dallas, Phoenix, great markets. You'd buy 4 or 5 malls at low prices that you thought you could reconfigure and make them contributing to their community again. And then maybe you'd put some money in some retail chains that you really thought were taking off, that had the consumer figured out. Dillard's is doing a great job figuring the price points that consumers want. You know, is that a place you just buy some stock? You have to look at their pricing today, but that sort of be an allocation of $500 million in retail commercial real estate.
Well, you gave a good textbook in your diversification, so I got a little mad when you did that. But I do appreciate that the intentionality, and it did hit a lot of good points, and so that makes sense. Listen, Barney, I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to pivot to a different topic. That's a bit controversial these days, and it's a topic of DEI in real estate. So if you want to hang on for another segment, I just want to take a quick break and then come back and talk about that. If that's okay, we'll take a break.
Great,
back.
John.
All right, we'll be right back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. This is John Crossman, and I work with a lot of vendors in the commercial real estate industry. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite ones ever is my friends over at Construction Unlimited, Florida's premier roofing company, and they bridge the craftsmanship with the pinnacle of innovation. They're just one of the best groups because of the trust, the expertise, the quality, and my favorite part, they're really committed to the community. When you're thinking about roofing construction needs, keep Construction Unlimited at the top of your list.
At JLL, we are reshaping the future of real estate for a better world. For over 250 years, our firm has remained committed to offering trusted and innovative solutions in commercial real estate leasing, management, investment strategies, and technology. JLL.com. See a brighter way.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
And we're back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition, with my dear friend Barney McCauley. Barney, so here's the thing. So if I said to you, hey, Barney, I'm working on a campaign to make sure the best and brightest students in college in America are getting exposed to real estate, that's a simple yes. Like, I mean, everyone's like, okay, yeah, that's great, right? If I said, I'm really trying to make sure that capitalism and real estate education is promoted at universities across the country, including universities that haven't historically promoted that, right? Like, that's an easy yes. Like sort of you say that. And then I start saying, well, let's talk about promoting DEI. And all of a sudden, like, the world blows up, right? Like, it just becomes this sort of crazy hot topic. And to me, it's like, when I think about it, is that on one level, there's some DEI things like Project Unity, Project Destin, that I think are the real deal, Holyfield. I would also add in there the real estate clubs at Florida A&M University, the real estate club at Thune-Cookman University, the Holtman-Crossman Scholarship at Jackson State University, the Bergstrom-Crossman Scholarship at the University of Florida for HBCU grads. I think there are real things out there that are happening. On the other side of things, I think there's a lot of DEI stuff that, to be honest, has just been kind of garbage, right? It's companies saying it, and there's really no meaning behind it. Like, they're tweeting the right words or something. And then worse, then it gets sucked into a whole world of, like, you know, is this promoting a Marxist ideology and not even about, you know, the core things it was supposed to be about? So, Barney, what are your thoughts today? Where are we at with DEI and real estate, and what is the right path and the right answer that we should be focused on?
So I think the right path is that we should continue to bring diverse candidates to real estate, and there's four core reasons for that. In 2016, there were only 28% of college graduates were white males. So if we only recruit white males, we're leaving too much of the talent pool behind. It's like your alma mater, Florida State, only recruits receivers from Orlando, and they miss out on all the talent in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville. It just doesn't make any sense. They wouldn't have a great team. Two, real estate likes to invest in – investors like to invest in major markets. And so they're investing in Dallas, Phoenix, Chicago, New York, all these cities that are minority-majority cities. And so if we want to put money to work in those communities, we need to have a better understanding of those communities. And that requires having people from those communities to make better investment decisions. It's all just money to me. That's what the economics of it is driving it. Three, that the 23% of all investments in institutional quality real estate, the stuff you and I like to work on, is made by pension funds, State of Ohio teachers, California Retirement Fund. Those groups represent a very diverse workforce. CalSTRS investment board has two people that look like you and I of the 11 people on the investment board. If we don't have folks on our team that match our clients, our institutional investors, we're going to have, I think, communication issues. Fourth, and most importantly, is McKinsey did a study called Developing Through Diversity. They did it originally in 15, they updated it again in 18. It shows that if you have a diverse workforce, you make better decisions, and your return, if you have a gender diversity, your return is going to be 22% higher. And if you have an ethically diverse, ethnically diverse workforce, you're going to have a probability of 33% higher EBITDA. So it's, if you have different people in the room, you're going to come up with better answers. There's a famous story about the Nova car. Chevy introduced the Nova like 1968, the Chevy Nova, big marketing program. No one in the C-suites spoke Spanish, so they didn't realize that Nova meant no go in Spanish. It's that sort of sensitivity that I think real estate needs to be more effective.
I agree with everything you said, and it sounds like at a core of it, you're really saying it's just really good business, right? It's really good, logical business, right?
I've hired diverse candidates, and they were always the best candidate. I just spent a little more time looking than some of my real estate contemporaries. So I went to Project REAP. I went, looked at graduates of FAMU. Talked to people. I got an intern from Morehouse. They were great, really talented people. It just, they didn't fall off. You know, I just didn't call three friends and say, hey, who do you know that's looking for a job? I just worked a little harder.
Well, you know, it's funny is that I don't know how many people attended New York ICSC, but that's a pretty big real estate conference, Javits Center kind of an event. And, you know, if you and I walked around there, I don't think anyone would argue with me if I said, hey, I saw 10 black people in the entire conference. I can name four of those 10 that are all different cities, different companies, and pretty senior level. They all went to FAMU, right? They all went to FAMU. Like, that's kind of shocking, right? Like, to me, it's like...
FAMU is overly represented.
Overly represented.
Real estate.
Right.
You get a lot of credit for that.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like what I would tell people is like it's an outstanding university, right? And again, I always say this. Like I'm never telling somebody to not recruit from their alma mater. If you went to Michigan or if you went to Princeton, you went to Stanford, you know, good for you and recruit from your alma mater. I'm just saying in addition to make that connection. And then I'd also say, and this has been one of my life experiences, sometimes you hire the kid that's the magna cum laude, never made a B in their life. And they get in this business is really hard. And this business is not one that you can just come in and make straight A's and be successful. You have to have some hustle to you. You have to have some creativity to you. You have to be able to solve problems that you woke up never knowing you're going to be working on solving that particular problem. I mean, how many times have you and I talked about we're dealing with some problem where we're like, geez, we got to come become experts on, you know, cell phone towers or some crazy thing we never heard of. But it also becomes part of a real estate deal. So that creativity and that drive and that entrepreneurship, that doesn't always come out in somebody graduating from an Ivy League school with straight A's, right? Maybe other industries, but not ours. Am I right about that?
So I agree 100%. My last hires have all overcome substantial obstacles. And they have, in real estate, you have to overcome adversity. So I hired a Golden Glove champ. I hired two immigrants. I hired the smallest guy to get a Division I soccer scholarship on his soccer team. I hired a single mom that had been through more stuff than I could imagine. So all these people have overcome things. So they get into real estate, and they're like, oh, the budget that was due on the 15th is now due on the 1st. And they don't have a meltdown. They just figure out how to move their calendar around to get it done on the 1st instead of the 15th.
Yeah, that's a big part of what this is. I know we're going to run close on time here, Barney, but we're going to actually take a break. Then Mike and I will do the last segment. But in that, I'm going to highlight some specific examples. Because again, I know DI is controversial and some people like it, don't like it. I'm always trying to like thread the needle of like what's working. And I hear you being an advocate of, we need to keep pushing it and find what works and then partner into it.
I agree. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you and I live on 100% commission. This isn't a 501c. So we don't make investments in people that we don't think gives us substantial return. And it's just making a little more effort to find the right people.
Absolutely. Barney McCauley, thanks for always being a consistent guest here on the Crossman Conversation CEO Edition. We'll be back in just a moment with our final segment. I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper & Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's CrossmarkServices.com.
As the largest property tax practice in North America, Ryan's professionals possess the local footprint and knowledge, backed by a team with national expertise to help organizations minimize their property tax liabilities and ensure valuations are fair and accurate. With the Florida tax appeal deadlines approaching rapidly, local experts at Ryan work proactively with many jurisdictions across Florida well in advance of the August trim notice mailing to ensure our clients receive maximum tax savings. Guys, I use Ryan, and I hope you will too.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
Mike Gillen, how are you, sir?
I am doing so well. So great to be back on the program with you.
So we're back, and one of our best guests, one of my trusted advisors, Barney McCauley. And, you know, I always love his insight on the industry.
Yeah.
And great insight there. I do want to just keep pulling the thread on the DEI thing. It's really fascinating. You know, you've heard me say this many times that I like to focus on principles, not power. And Barney's the same thing. So it's when he and I talk about this, we're trying to give advice to ourselves and our fellow people in business on what's the best business advice. We're not trying to push some political agenda or whatever. We're just trying to make impact, right?
Yeah.
And so there is a, you know, aspect of it. It's like, hey, making society better for sure. But it's really trying to do it in a way that's meaningful. And so, you know, he's been very supportive of the work I've been doing, which is really promoting real estate education at HBCUs, which historically have not taught real estate education.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like if you're somebody that's you know, pro-diversity, pro-black, you totally support that. It's scholarships at black colleges. At the same time, it's teaching real estate literacy, man. It's teaching capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's teaching, you know, things that, again, most, I mean, I don't know who in business wouldn't be for that, right?
Yeah, you brought up that thing, capitalism, and so many universities, they treat that like it's a bad word.
Yeah, I always find that confusing, especially when it's a college of business, mm-hmm. right? You that's part of what you're doing, you know. Like, if you're nursing and you're teaching healthcare, you're gonna be pro being healthcare. You're teaching business. You're teaching capitalism.
But there are so many things in this world right now that seem to be backwards on that, and they're not really pushing what would be for the betterment of that particular industry.
Well, that's why I like HBCUs, right?
Yeah.
And so, I saw an article recently was talking about what colleges allow for the most, you know, free speech. And, you know, to me, it's like, it's not, that's not trying to say one view or another view, but like welcoming all views. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I found HBCUs always be very welcome to what I'm promoting, which mm-hmm. is like education, real estate education. And I'm not there to try to make a kid, you know, a Democrat to a Republican or try to, like, that's not part of the program. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is provide resource in that space. What I want, you think about what is education?
Yeah.
What is education?
Yeah.
You know, like you're learning about all these different things. And, you know, hey, if you're learning, you know, about what is insurance, you're learning about how to sign an apartment lease, you're learning about, you know, how to balance your bank accounts, like those are all good human things that you would think could be really good for all college students to learn.
I agree.
And so having this exposure to it, and, you know, if you start thinking about the topic of generational wealth, you know, how do you create generational wealth? Well, you kind of start with one generation
mm-hmm.
and building equity in homes and doing that. That's a big part of it.
It is.
So that's what we're trying to do. There's other programs. I mean, he mentioned, you know, Project Unity, Project Essen, Project Reap. These are all well-established, you know, nonprofits that are doing great work in that space. And I think we work in conjunction with all of them and the work we do in promoting HBCUs and real estate education. So I hope this will help inspire some people to think about writing a check. Endowing a scholarship and volunteering, recruiting, guest lecturing at all the many wonderful HBCs.
I think all the people in the world right now need to follow Barney's advice and work a little harder at the things that are really important.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to just kind of pick the low-hanging fruit of society. That's not what is going to do it. It's going to be working hard.
That's right. And making some personal sacrifices. So, Mike, as always, thanks for being here with the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition.
This has been the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, with your host, John Crossman. Tune in next week for another talk with an experienced CEO that will help bring clarity to your business endeavors.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.